Akita is different than the other teachings of New Age and religion and philosophy. And we've said on this website that Akita can be defined as four different definitions of a way, a path, a science, and a teaching. It differs from a religion and philosophy, metaphysics, and New Age, insofar as these other teachings we classify as cosmic consciousness, where they will stop at the fourth plane, where Akita really lets the soul become liberated from that fourth plane into the fifth plane. And that makes it very different than those other teachings. At one point in history, all these other philosophies and teachings and religions and regression therapies, I'll say, and the New Age paths and what have you, at one time were Akita in ancient times and different times. It goes back to millions of years. And that would be, they call it a cosmic day, so you can see there's cosmic years and centuries, millennia, and same thing. So it goes back to billions and billions of years. At the same time, that really is basically the problems with these other teachings. And in one sense of the word, they're not necessarily problems, because we often say that they're steps towards Akita. But one can be mired in those teachings for many lifetimes. And I say mired because they have left out the opportunity to get beyond into the higher planes of liberation. And I had said, I think in a talk the other day, my family had been in a teaching called Unity when I was a child. And it's a very nice teaching. They're very good people, very warm and goodly. But in their theories and philosophies, they really don't have a clear distinction of the supreme deity. In other words, in Akita, we talk about different planes of existence on the inner planes, as we say, when we go inside in contemplation and we travel to these higher planes of existence, and that gives us the opportunity to have an afterlife, whereas teachings like Unity are not being clear about this afterlife. Well, they had said that one can become a spiritual being once they pass away, and they said that there's no heaven or hell whilst they were talking about the physical world. And I thought, well, that's interesting. It's a good idea not to have hell, but I don't know about heaven, which is supposedly amusing. But I won't hear you laugh, but I'll tell the little joke anyway. At the same time, see, that's the reason for Akita, is to have a basic theory of liberation. And liberation is why we talk about Akita as the ancient science of Sahaji. It's the science of traveling beyond the lower planes. And that's very important, because once one gets to the other side in contemplation, or what we call death translation in Akita, then to have distinctively and to know what's going on in there, in the last segment we talked about seeing, being, and knowingness, when you step onto the path and start doing contemplations, that knowingness is tuned into. In other words, it sort of releases within one, or one has now their knowingness as opened up is a good idea, or we become this area of knowingness, or we can articulate it. For instance, everyone has knowingness on the inner, but a lot of times we are not allowed to express from this knowingness in your teaching, and one goes unrecognized for that knowingness. In Akita, there's a definite basis for allowing one to learn and grow on the path to gain the three goals of self-realization, God-realization, Sarosha mastery. And that's what we offer and afford to the individual in an experience, wherein the religions and philosophies and New Age teachings don't talk too much about inner experiences. The New Age latter parts of the teachings, they do talk about high consciousness, but they don't really talk about soul travel per se. The ones that do, they briefly brush over that. The whole idea of a high feeling is a good thing, and you could call it higher consciousness, whatever. But the precision and explanation, the detailed information of the mapping of the God Worlds chart that we show on this website can't afford categorically the option for a soul to become liberated on the path. These teachings don't provide this, and these, what we talked about, the religions especially, usually keep people as followers. The term master is rarely used in religions, especially in the West. In the East, they talk about masters sometimes, but they also mostly have followers and don't afford mastery to their students because in fear of a competition, I'll say, with leaders and that sort of thing. That's why in the lineage of the living Sarosha masters, the idea of a lineage is the very important to explain that there's no dictatorship, an eternal dictatorship. Teachings that have one leader, you can see right away it's a dictatorship or a hero worship or a messiah complex or this sort of the savant type thing. Well, the only one and that's it. Okay, that's fine if people really want to worship a hero. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not going to do it personally. People can do what they want. But with them, that's just a reflection of the lineage of the living Sarosha masters, but bastardized quite a bit because they've pulled it out of the lineage, so to speak, and now they have this leader. And most often you'll see, like, the Maitreya thing is all these of psychic phenomenon and all these magical occurrences that take place. Very rarely does the living Sarosha master do those things, and privately a lot of times the abilities are always there, but we don't make displays just to get followers. I mean, that's the whole thing that they do. They'll show these tricks and what have you, and I think that's fine. I'm not going to compete with it. I don't really care about all that business. My responsibility is to find the ready soul and allow you to get to liberation in the higher planes, not to show you a bunch of tricks like flying through the air on a carpet or bringing the dead back to life and all that business or stopping trains and all these tricks that they play. Because you know, when people start doing that business, they just want more. It's like magic tricks or being a magician. It's not important. It has nothing to do with a high path back at all. It has nothing to do with it. Sure, I'm a raw vegan, and I don't eat cooked food, but I don't expect the students to do that. That's not important. A lot of them do it because I do it, and that's fine. I think it's a good thing to do. At the same time, I've talked about the masters of Akita in the Far East and the Himalayan mountains. They are breatharian. They don't eat food at all, and very rarely. And the interesting part is that I'm not breatharian, and probably maybe not be for a long time. But that's, see, again, diet has nothing to do with spiritual liberation. Not one iota has nothing to do with it at all. A lot of people, even New Age, say, well, that's very important, diet and being vegetarian. Well, my teacher wasn't vegetarian, and that doesn't bother me in the least bit. I'm not concerned about it whatsoever. He didn't eat an abundance of meat, and it was raw most of the time anyway. A lot of people don't realize that Paul G was a raw vegan. He was a very trim person. He was in shape. That's an interesting history. We do talk a little bit about that history on the website. He was a great man, and at the same time, we're not concerned about psychic phenomena and doing tricks, as I said before. And that's mainly what New Age and religion does that too. They're interested in seeing performances. They want people to put on some kind of performance, dazzling people or the masses with some kind of mass magic trick and what have you. But pull a rabbit out of the hat, right? But I'm not doing that and won't. And when people attempt me to do those things, usually I decline instantly. I'm not concerned about it. Because we're our responsibility. If I can get one soul to the fifth plane, I've done my responsibility. I can move on. That's what I'm interested in. As I've often said, that we'll stop the whole movement for one individual to be liberated. I'm not important. You are. The student that's ready, they're important on this path. So we're not here to do magic tricks or or take people's money. We have free membership. You can see that our motives are pure. We're not interested in making a living from the masses. And even during Paul's days when he was teaching the path, he was charging a membership fee, but the whole marketplace wasn't strewn with multi-level marketing, and every individual is charging nickel and diming everyone to death, so to speak. I'm not doing that. I opted out of that because it was just the whole idea is, well, here's another guru trying to make a living, but that's not true. See, where our attitude is to find the ready soul for liberation. I think people can really appreciate that. Okay.
That's excellent. I wanted to, if you don't mind, Sri Kanafji, ask a question, or actually make a statement, but ask a question. You had mentioned about a lot of New Age paths and religions. They have one person that's up on stage, the guru, the master, the leader, and everyone kind of bows to them. And I know in Akita it is different. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how there are many, many masters.
Right, there. That's the whole idea. Since the third goal is ferocious mastery, we allow that to take place because that's what the soul has sought for many, many lifetimes, is to master the experience. Now, these other teachings, these leaders that they have are threatened because, firstly, they're usually the only leader, right? And if somebody becomes not an equal, per se, because nobody is really an equal, that master in their own right, there's a threatening factor there. Now, in a lineage aspect, there's no threatening because I'm only here temporarily. There'll be another master to replace me, you see. So we don't have that feeling at all. So we can really allow others their mastery because it's one of the goals in the first place, because everybody has a unique position in their mastery. We know that. See, we know that in Akita, whereas other teachings can't articulate that wisdom. They can't, or even the information. You don't even have to call it wisdom necessarily. It's just a fact. See, because we can move out of the way to allow a person to be that unique master, and that's not threatening to me or anybody else. In other words, we can applaud that. We can pat them on the back and say, good job, you know, that's really terrific. We're not identifying with it. We're not collectivizing like a big beehive of competition or trying to win the race at all costs to beat the other person down. Quite the contrary. I learned in my training that I can sit back and applaud anybody for their genius and wonder and appreciate it, not be jealous one iota. It's up to me to master my experience or to excel in something, you see. So we recognize that power within one, that master power, and actually applaud it and celebrate it. We celebrate it quite a bit, and we don't feel, for instance, we don't feel jealousy or feel like we're being left out and that sort of thing. So that's the whole idea of self-realization, is the start of that too, which is really beautiful, because we can talk about self-realization all day long till we're blue in the face, but until one actually has the experience of it, then they have this enlightenment, or they say in some of the regression therapies, the aha business, which is really, to be honest with you, a lower derivative of the Hue Chan, of Hue, because the Hue would be the aha. So that's just enlightenment. When one gains enlightenment, really has that experience, it's difficult to explain it. It's difficult to even teach it. But when one has it, they have that experience of the apnati or the self-speak, and that's the key here. We become the guru. We become the Sadguru, our own guru, which is the ability to talk until you pass out, basically. And also, you know what you're talking about. You can't be trapped in words. I can't be trapped in words. I've been tested by the best in terms of so-called high IQ people. My IQ is very high, too. We don't get into measurement of all that stuff, too. It's not competition. But when people were to compete with you for your knowledge, we can always break off into higher Sanskrit, and it sounds a little bit like this, and people kind of, we have fun with it. It's Atikun Dala Kostin Tagala Pagantu Dudulankadi, Esin Dala Kantai, and Syndicate in all the Gantis, Dala Pagatelam Tinan Dagare, or the Kistila Guru, the Silicon Tilak, and the Distindala. See, and that's really speaking in tongues, but we don't necessarily have to do it like the Sanskrit is very harsh. It sounds like this. I mean, it's very Teutonic. It's very harsh. whereas in higher Sanskrit, it's a little mellower, it's not as harsh. But those are really it's really child's gibberish. So in other words, we don't have to get into logical arguments and who's right about information and all that business. But people do that all the time. They want to win arguments, logical arguments about whose information is right and that sort of thing. And Akita, sure, we use logic in terms of explanation, and sometimes we have to say that here's what we agree on and disagree on and this sort of thing. At the same time, in breaking off into the true language, which is really the golden age language, we're not ready for that presently now. I'm not really condoning it right now. It's not a bad idea, but we're not there yet because we just haven't really understood ourselves enough in order to move into that. And so the whole idea is that we really need to learn about what we're doing in reference to awareness, the self-awareness, and that's the problems that the other teachings have, because they don't know how to identify and celebrate mastery in other people when they're the only one, if there's no lineage and that sort of thing, or they're not even recognizing mastery. A lot of teachers are up there, self-styled gurus and teachers who sell books and want to pay them to talk to them or about their golden rule information. Golden rule is good. I'm not begrudging people their when they talk about these things or have their opinions. People are entitled to their opinion and their viewpoint. That's a very good thing. I think if people are giving positive information, that's important also, because that moves one to higher eras at the same time. But what I want to point out is, what are they doing regarding one's spiritual liberation? That's the key. Only Akita does that, and that's really what we're talking about here. I know that's a challenge. I challenge people to tell me what a specific teaching is offering in terms of liberation, spiritual liberation, you see. And that's an important aspect to talk about, because we're very specific on the path of Akita.
Thank you so much, Sri Kadafji. I guess my final question is, you mentioned that these religions and philosophies and New Age movement, basically, if I understood you correctly, they're kind of center on the cosmic consciousness or the universal mind,
yes,
which is the lower worlds, and it can be. I just wanted to clarify, it can be quite a nice place to visit. You know, a lot of people have what they think is enlightenment. And it's quite a wonderful experience, and they say, "Wow, I've met God." Can you talk about some of the different that whole issue of cosmic consciousness and the universal mind?
Well, sure. The thing is that the specific and simple way to look at that